You have arrived at your destination.
Hi, this is Gene Simmons from KISS, and you're listening to Sean vs. Wild. And guess what? Now that you've heard this, you owe me $29.95. Go to kissonline.com. Boom.
That's right, Wildlings. You have arrived at your destination. It's the Sean vs. Wild podcast. And you guys know me, of course, your host, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, the guy putting rad back into talk radio. And it's time to rock and roll all night and podcast every Tuesday. So good to hear from you here this Tuesday. This is going to be an awesome show. Three buddies hanging out, couple Coors Lights, and just having a great time. I'm back with the Sean vs. Wild residential house band. Yes, I'm the Jimmy Fallon. They are the Roots. I'm talking to Foxbat again today on the Sean vs. Wild podcast. I just can't get enough of them. This is their third appearance on Sean vs. Wild, and we're talking all about their brand new album, Rot Gut, which comes out on Friday, guys, August 3rd. So make sure, if you haven't yet, pre-order your copy, because on Saturday, August 4th, huge show, Headliners Music Hall, 7 p.m., 18 plus. I'm talking Foxbat, Guerrilla Warfare, Versus, Light Treasons, and Summer Youth. A super stacked card at one of the greatest venues in Louisville. Absolutely love it, and I'm looking forward to it big time. Also, I'll be there selling merch and chit-chatting, meeting and greeting all of the listeners out there. So please come out, have a drink with me. Be selling the merch for super cheap, so pick you up some Sean vs. Wild apparel while you're there. Can't wait to meet everybody. That's my favorite thing. I love to just interact with people that listen or, you know, meet people that say, hey, I've been checking out your show. So I want you to be that person. And I want to be that person that gives you a high five, for sure. But we're talking all about the brand new album here this week. And then we're going to be talking about the music videos that they've recently released. We're going to be talking, of course, about the album release show. We're going to be talking about which fair food is best. We're going to be talking all kinds of stuff. Three great friends just hanging out. And this episode was done on location at the Foxbat Cave. So if it sounds a little different, setup, we're not here in the Smithsonian, but that's the beautiful thing about my podcast rig. I can throw it in a backpack, take it anywhere, and get the interview, get the scoop. So, yeah, guys, definitely a great one this week. I'm very happy about it. And yeah, I'm having a great time. I'm hoping you guys have been having an awesome week so far as well. I know I have. My last week was absolutely fantastic as well. Things, for some reason, everything just kind of did a 180. Things have started looking up. Been much more positive. Been having a smile on my face, you know, and I hope that's the same with you. You know, I realize you just got to keep looking at the positive aspects of what's going on. Not focus on the negative. Just keep focusing on the positive. Keep moving forward. Keep living your life. You know what I'm saying? Make it happen. Guys, I'm not here to lecture you. I'm just letting you know how awesome my past few days have been, my past week has been, and hopefully that attitude just continues on into the future. You know what I'm saying? Could use a victory, and I think I'm getting it. So, absolutely fantastic. And speaking of a victory, you can't lose when you go to Audiophile Inc. Yes, that's right. Check out that segue. Shane from Audiophile Inc. has been printing my merch for over a decade, and he actually printed out some of the merch that you will see at the show on Saturday at Foxbat's table, as well as Summer Youth's table. He takes care of everybody here in the Louisville metro area, and he can do the same for you. And he ships to all 50 nifty United States, so you don't have to be a Louisville native to enjoy AudiophileInc.com, to enjoy the best deals in town, no matter what town you're located in. Shane will screen print for you tees, tanks, hooded sweatshirts, shorts, long sleeve tees, whatever the kids are wearing these days. If he can print on it, he can make it happen for you, give you the best deal. AudiophileInc.com, and ask for Shane. Tell him the Wild Man sent you. Audiophile Inc. AudiophileInc.com. All right, guys. Also, too, got to tell you about the Revival 52 playlist. That is key. That is crucial, man. Whether you love new music or you're a band on tour and you want to find the coolest bands to be touring with and seeing bands out here that are making moves, the Revival 52 playlist is right up your alley. All you have to do is go to ffm.to/revival52. That is Foxtrot, Mama, Frank.to/Revival52. I don't know. Guys, I wasn't in the military. I don't know the military terms. It's frankfrankmary.to/revival52. And every week, Revival Recordings will be releasing a brand new song on Friday, all 52 weeks in 2018. So we're about halfway there. We're a little over halfway there. So you got a lot of awesome music, a lot of awesome bands to check out. Make sure you do that. ffm.to/revival52. Follow that playlist. Guys, make it happen. Do yourself a favor. And do yourself a favor if you haven't yet. Like, share, and subscribe this podcast. Tell your friends about it, okay? We're trying to blow this thing up. I'm going to be out there on Saturday passing out flyers, telling everybody about the show. Probably get on the mic and say something, you know? Boy, that's going to be nerve-wracking. But yeah, we'll make it happen. And guys, tell a friend, tell a family member about the show. Hopefully you like what you hear today. That's going to be it from me. My conversation with Foxbat starts right now. Let's get wild. This will be the quickest podcast setup maybe in history, dude. Portable.
Guerrilla podcasting.
Here we are in the Foxbat cave.
In a Wendy's bathroom.
We're just hanging out. Three dudes hanging out. Wendy's bathroom. No AC. The fan is barely blowing in here.
Mm-hmm. She's going to get real hot in this right
two,
now.
Two dogs breathing all over the place.
Smells questionable.
If one of them farts, we're going to have to evacuate this area.
Yeah, the podcast will just be over.
It's good to know I've got something to blame it on, though.
It'll be over before it starts. But yeah, here we are, guys, in the Fox Bat Cave, and I'm joined by Jeremy and Clay. I'll do the formal introductions later, but I feel like, first and foremost, Jeremy, the last time we really sat down and had a heart-to-heart, I feel like I came in really strong talking about how much I hate Marvel, and then I felt really bad about it afterwards.
Because
I came in red hot. I was just like, this is the most garbage trash I've ever seen. And then you were like, whoa, I actually really like it. And I'm like, what do you mean you like it? DC's way better. And you're like, what do you mean DC's better? And then we're just sitting at TJ's cookout, heatedly arguing.
Everyone's looking at us like, really, guys?
There's only two men in this whole cookout, and they're they're in their 30s, and they're arguing about DC versus Marvel, the movies.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. I don't want to throw fuel on this fire, but are you talking about the movies or just
that's
the comics?
That's what the conversation, however it started, was.
It was definitely movie-based when
Sean
it started.
Sean and Bird were going on about it, and I kind of just like, sort of timidly, but was just like, well, actually I kind of like that.
Wait, all right, so
to which he was brutally attacked, I don't know, by two grown
behemothly,
yeah,
he was dudes in corpse paint, yes, out and just blasted him,
yeah, I behemothly attacked him, vehemently, yes.
To me, in one movie, what would be your best argument for either universe?
Oh, the Dark Knight trilogy.
Okay.
Well, the tough thing there, though, is that it doesn't exist in the current DCEU or
that's
whatever.
All right.
That's fair.
Hey, you know what? If you guys want to, pick the original Fantastic Four that doesn't exist in the current Marvel, you can do that if you want.
No, I was going to go with the remake that Josh Trank did, which is one of the biggest dumpster fires I've literally ever seen him. I did a bunch of research and went and saw that movie in theaters because I wanted to see if it was as bad as everyone said it was, and it was worse.
Oh, nice.
And it sucked because I love Josh Trank because of he did Chronicle, which was a very, very good movie in my opinion, and it was Michael B. Jordan, who's from The Wire, and who he became awesome. Dane DeHaan is kind of hit or miss, but he's pretty good. And so I was like, yeah, sure, we'll give another try to this series that has not done anything well. And
it's always nice when a movie exceeds your expectations.
Regardless of which way that goes.
Yeah, that'll be the review on the DVD case. It'll just be like, we'll exceed all expectations.
I mean, that's why I really dig Rock and Roll High School.
So. More extreme than you've heard, you know, in both sides of the coin here. Yeah, and Clay, here you are working on stuff. You're multitasking today.
I've been multitasking this entire fucking.
I was gonna say it's gonna be a busy week. We're gonna talk all about all the craziness that's gonna go down this weekend.
This podcast is just for me to get this all out to like as an emotional release for how much shit I've been.
Well, so you can go back and listen to it later and be like, all right, well, I need to fix this. Okay, I need to work on that a little bit.
Be like, this is the moment where it started to crumble.
Have you guys ever heard somebody just come apart?
Just come apart right here on a podcast.
Yeah.
I did an episode with Nick Dittmeyer, who was like talking about, I was talking about doing keto diet, and he was just like, yeah, isn't that the diet that people do and then they just slowly go insane? And I was like, well, that's one thing that I can document on this podcast, just like my slow descent. Did you see a man? He went crazy, but he's so thin. He looks great.
It's like people who are in those pressure chambers where they just slowly like work out the pressure or make the pressure go more and to see how much they endure before they go insane. It's
That's Same what keto thing. Is, yeah.
That's what keto is, and that's what the life of a touring musician is.
That was a really
well.
Dud of an anecdote. I'm sorry.
We were trying to move on, and you pointed like, it out.
No,
and
if I fuck up, I'm going to point it the fuck out.
Well, guys, this isn't just our slow descent into insanity. This is actually the Sean versus Wild podcast. And just as I was saying, I'm joined in the Fox Bat Cave by Clay and Jeremy of Foxbat. This is your third trip to the podcast, Clay.
Yeah, it's feeling good.
You're an old pro. You probably know how this goes.
Absolutely.
I'm going to ask you guys questions. You're going to give me answers, and we're going to fucking talk about them.
Oh, well, in that case, I'm gone. That's not what I thought this was.
It's confusing.
I mean, I just opened another beer, but like, what?
I didn't even know I was holding a microphone. I thought I was talking into just a giant sucker.
This is the worst sucker
that
I've ever
dropped.
Had.
I dropped on every carpet ever.
To be fair, that like
Yeah, wow, man, that was I dropped on every carpet ever. Nice.
To be fair, like this would be the equivalent of having just a regular Tootsie Pop. This microphone, so. Yeah,
just regular flavored. Like not even like
the cherry or
the, yeah, not even the cherry.
It's that brown Tootsie Pop where you're just like, no one wants this.
What flavor? Now is the brown root beer?
Root beer, yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Hold on a second. No.
Shouldn't it just be chocolate? We got two dogs in here, and boy, are they getting frisky.
The female dog will try to hump the male dog, and we're trying to work with her on consent. But
we're
it's
working
not
on that.
He doesn't see any. He's not got, you know. He's got goldfish memory. He's mm-hmm. just like he's just happy to be here, man. Just
yes, he doesn't remember anything. But
if somebody touching me, great. Just give me the head pets, and I don't give a shit.
I love it too because like when I came in, he just acted like he had never seen me before, and then
you guys are best friends now.
I ran back to get a splitter, like a headphone splitter, here for our conversation, and then he just did the same thing. He just acted like he's like oh,
brand new.
Who
person.
Are you? I'm like, well, I was just here, bud. Same old me.
Did you notice how Newt, the female dog, she, you know, freaked out for the first few seconds, but then when you came back, she didn't care at all.
No, she's chewing on a chew toy.
Not smart of a dog.
Big shout out here to Angelica, who I'm sure is listening. And Newt's underneath me, and I just want to say, a cookie is just a cookie, but Newtons are fruit and cake.
God damn it.
I say it every time I come over to the house when I pet your dog. And that's just the way it is, guys. But we're not here to just talk about cool dog nicknames. So, yeah, Foxbat Boys, my friends, you got a lot going on here. You got an album that's coming out on mm-hmm. Friday. You have a huge CD release show coming to you on Saturday at Headliners.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I know we talked about it briefly last summer, but Rot Gut, the title of the new album, it's a thing.
It's finally a thing.
It is definitely a thing. Now tell me the trial. Catch me up from last summer.
Okay, so we recorded three songs with Jordan on our own, and we premiered one of them on your podcast.
Yes, yes, you did.
Which one was it? It was
Privileged Youth, okay. But at the time it was called Quick Riff. It didn't even have a name. Like we just didn't have
the
name
riff
for it.
Was quick.
The riff was quick riff.
It was untitled. I remember that. Yeah.
So we did that. We tried to shop it around. And thought, hey, maybe somebody will give a shit, and then nobody gave a shit, which is understandable because you know we're a tiny band from Louisville, Kentucky. But we happened upon on Wes from Eastwood Records, who gave a shit, which is fucking awesome.
That always helps.
Yeah, exactly. It was this thing where like we you know when we originally shopped it, we were just like, cool, nobody cares, that's fine. So like in just a kind of just a random, I was like, oh, I'll hit him up because I had heard of him through the Whiskey Riders and heard a lot of positive things about him. And so we were like, send it to him, and he was just super stoked. Immediately met with him, talked with him, and he was like, yeah, let's do a record. So we had to then write a record, which was this thing where initially we were talking about doing an EP. And then it turned into a full-length, which is awesome. But then we had to write a full-length record. So
yeah.
Yeah, which is never
like,
fun.
Hey, we have like two or three songs in the can. How about a full record? Yeah, I guess we could probably do that.
Totally.
Hey, Jeremy, do you have any old songs you've never recorded?
It's like, I got an idea. It's 10 seconds. I would stretch that into a whole three minute 30.
That's easy. We got this. Nailed it.
Yeah, so it turned into, we went back in with Jordan during the winter, and then finished the record, and then just went through the process of getting it ready. And we've had some setbacks between getting mastering done, finding who we're going to do the duplication, as well as the vinyl, which is fucking awesome, and we're so fucking stoked for the vinyl.
I can't wit to have one.
Yeah, we...
We're sold out. I bought them all. So you can get instead of 20, you can get one for 35.
It's like StubHub. Yeah, like, yeah. They're $20 everywhere, but you can't find them everywhere. So they're $48 through me.
But yeah, so it's been getting that together. And honestly, it's the one thing that's been kind of good about, because originally we were trying to do a May release. And between trying to get music video shot, getting promo shit put together, and everybody having lives, Jeremy can attest for this.
Yeah. But we, well, actually, most thanks to Clay here, who somehow, like, every day or every other day, he would just have, like, a, all right, so here's where we stand. We're, like, you know, 10 feet closer to where we want to be. And, you know, at a certain point, it was like, all right, we are where we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
We got some things to work out, but in terms of getting the show set up, getting the CDs pressed, getting the vinyl pressed, getting the video mm-hmm. shot, which, you know, going through four because of Tommy, going through four super talented individuals that created four or three very, very different videos for us for three very different songs that we all feel like represent the album really well. Like, it was just everything really did start to fall into place overall.
Yeah. And let's talk about those videos, too, because, man, how great are those? Two of them are out. Will all three of them be out by the time this is released?
We're hoping. We're waiting for the PR company to... And this is behind the scene.
Oh, guys, this is a Sean versus Wild exclusive hot take.
So this is how PR company works. You basically give them all your stuff, and they're like, cool, we're going to see if anybody cares. And the cool thing so far is, like, a couple people have really cared, and that's awesome. So our third music video, which is, like... kind of one of the biggest shifts in dynamics and
one of the
sound.
Biggest shits.
One of the biggest shit, man, dude. The biggest dump. You ever seen? You just seen Jurassic Park, man. You know what I mean? That's a big pile of shit. That's what you're gonna say. You're going Jeff Goldblum when you see.
You're
this
gonna
video.
See the musical equivalent of Triceratops shit.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's one of the biggest dynamic shifts for us as a song, and it The goal is for it hopefully to be out before the record release show, but depending on what people say about it, that the PR company is shopping it to, it could be after. We currently don't know. So go.
I've heard about it.
You've heard about it. I might show it to you later.
Yeah, don't worry. I've already seen it. I don't know. I do know Joe Brock, and he is like...
he'll whore it out anywhere, which way he can,
look,
yeah.
I'm just going to say, I've seen the views on the unlisted video right now, and they're way higher than they should be.
Let's see.
Basically, everybody's probably already seen it by now, but...
There's five of us, a couple people in the video, it certainly looks like there's more than that on the unlisted views. Somebody really must be watching this video a lot.
Yeah.
But no, it's fantastic. First two... super, they look fantastic, super well done. Grim Ripper.
Thank you for saying it right.
Yeah, I was waiting for that. I was looking for you. I was looking at your face to make sure if you said it wrong to see you do a backflip in your chair or whatever.
This is true professionalism, guys. Yeah. I got it. First try.
That's a hilarious thing about the music industry is it's like you expect it to be all this professional shit and then you submit something to be like, they're like, oh, this is going to be announced on this big website. And you're like, that's amazing. And then the website literally doesn't read the title of the music video, doesn't read the email sent by the PR company and mistitles it. And it's this thing where it's like, it's not a big deal, but it's the idea of like, it's there. Like, I'm told that like, if I want to get hired for a job, I got to have reading comprehension. And like,
right.
That apparently doesn't matter in the music industry.
Nah. Reading's overrated.
I remember back in the day, like, speaking of Nick Dittmeyer, second time he's brought up, hey, shout out, Nick.
What about?
But he did like some interview with somebody back in the day, and they're like, what do you sound like? And it was like, oh, you know, we sound like I don't know, Botch and At the Drive-In and Straylight Run. Like, if you guys remember Straylight Run,
oh yeah,
obviously Suburban Blood Drive sounded nothing like that, and he made this joke, right? Well, what's funny is like that joke literally made it into like every press release we ever got. We were like, for fans of Straylight Run, and people are like, this band sounds nothing like Straylight Run.
So, oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. That's what's good.
Yeah, dude. So big success coming your way. I know that it's gonna be good, and the videos look fantastic. Guys, if you haven't yet, stop what you're doing, get on YouTube, check out the video, especially for Grim Ripper. I'm here
in the house that it was shot
at. The Fox Bat Cave, right here where it's shot, with some of the hellish beasts.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah.
I've got one that's asleep on me after licking the back of my head earlier while I was doing the podcast.
Bless and then his heart.
In the background, you're just going to be able to hear little Newton eating that chew toy.
In the chew toy. Yeah.
But guys, and then so where do we go from here? So you had some time as far as getting it out there, and now you've got vinyl on the way. Uh-huh. What else are you going to have here?
So, again, in the process of losing my mind, we as a band are running our pre-orders. We're not doing it through anybody else. We're not having anybody else print them. We're printing them ourselves. So last night I started printing the pre-orders. Tonight I'm hopefully finishing them up today. Obviously, anybody who wants a pre-order record, you should do it because it'll be made by me.
Yeah,
and full of mistakes. So currently, like, dealing with that and then trying to promote the show, because it's like there isn't been a heavy show in headline. The last time I remember a heavy band playing headliners is maybe Jimmy Eat World and then Me Without You, which are neither.
So that's to say that if those are the last heavy shows you remember, then.
The heaviest show I've ever seen, man. Jimmy Eat World.
Hey, dude, man, that song Pain's got some
It's like, I remember back in the day when Unbroken Wings played, John climbed up the raffolding, or the scaffolding, rather. They cut the power. The drummer kept playing. We all kept singing, and then John threw a microphone stand in the audience, hit somebody, so somebody else threw a trash can in there. It was an actual brawl. He was arrested. And then they printed, which I fucking wish to God I would have got it, but it was a free John shirts and with his face on it, because he was held in
Jefferson County.
Yeah, Jefferson County Corrections.
Should have went and visited him.
I'm a huge fan.
So that was
I'll pay your bill. Give me maybe some complimentary merch.
That was like 06, and then they said they never play here again. They played at Uncle Pleasant's, but that's literally one of the last heavy shows that I can remember. I know there were more, but that one just stands out because it was extra heavy and the power got shut. I was like from a second story window and Ion Dissonance. Like, it was a very heavy show.
The last like real heavy show that I went to there when they were still when Terry Harper was still booking there was like Demon Hunter and As They Lay Dying, I think, and Bless the Fall, and I saw Bless the Fall, the singer, fall from the rafter, which was, then nobody caught him. Like, he climbed up to the top, and then he jumped, and like the entire front of the crowd was like 14-year-old kids, and they were like, nah, I'm not catching that guy.
I better just run away.
They were just like, that guy's falling 30 feet. Are you saying that
nobody blessed his fall?
No, nobody blessed the fall, dude. Good. I audibly heard a... And then the entire crowd just went, ooh. Like, it was...
Actually, back in 2004, I saw Every Time I Die open up for Under Oath, open up for Atreyu, open up for Lamb of God.
Yeah, dude, they had three or four years of just unbelievable four-band shows that were, like, the biggest bands at that time. Killswitch was part of it. It Dies Today was part of it.
Lamb of God was there like 14 times.
They live there basically.
So I'm wondering if this is a possible mixture of shows that you're talking about. Because I was there for Every Time I Die, Unearth, Lamb of God on the off date for Ozfest, and then was there for
And Atreyu played also.
I was there for Atreyu Lamb of God, Atreyu, Norma Jean.
Nope. I wouldn't have went and saw Norma Jean.
Okay.
It was literally like there were a dozen bands.
It was like six or seven bands total, and they just all played at Headliners. And it was awesome.
It really was.
Fox Bet's bringing it back.
$15 shows. And they were crazy. They were packed houses and phenomenal.
And that's what I'm hoping this show does. Like, I'm not naive enough to think that we're going to sell out Headliners, but we're totally going to sell out Headliners, so you should buy tickets right now. But ultimately, it's just like, dude, if we show the community, if we show Headliners, because, you know, I think Headliners probably, I'm assuming, but I think they got to the point where they're like, heavy shows happen, stuff gets broken, like, they don't, local bands come and they don't actually bring kids out, you know, so it's like, why would we do this? So it's like the idea of, like, cool, let's try to pack Headliners as much as possible, have heavier bands play, and maybe that'll be a thing again, because we're losing venues left and right, so...
That's Louisville for you.
Exactly.
I mean, so, that's par for the course.
The coolest venues in town are closing down for whatever reason. So it's just like, Skull Alley was still one of my favorite venues in Louisville. Like, then, you know, that's 10 years ago now. But, like, any mid-sized venues pretty much, you know, there's a couple. I don't want to naysay any actual venues set around that size. But, like,
we're gonna have to bring Bulldog Cafe back, guys.
Dude, right? And
we're gonna fire bring back that.
So that little old lady is still sitting there, who's probably still alive, in the dark.
Anecdote about her.
Yeah,
I was there at a show I probably played. I think would have been 2000. It would have been probably a We Speak Texan show, I think. So it would have been like 2006 or 7 or something like that. And I'm over there, and there's a band playing. It's loud, can't hear anything. There's like three or four of us standing like in the back where there was that room that people would usually, if they didn't put their equipment on the side of the stage, they would put it in the back. There was like a tiny little room that I think maybe had a pool table at one point. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we're just standing there, kind of watching the band, not really paying attention. And then I see that the son or grandson or whatever, he was a younger kid, was like yelling at me. And I was just like, fucking what, dude? What? He was yelling at me, and he finally comes over, and he literally pushes me. I had been standing on her air tube.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
For I don't know how long.
Look, that's awful, but nothing will kill that woman.
Yeah. She's still, like, indestructible.
I maintain that she's still there, sitting there waiting for someone to lean against the pool table so she can old lady strength yell at them.
Oh, did she yell at people for leaning on the pool table?
Oh, absolutely. Dude, that was her.
Her MO.
I don't know what her situation was. I feel bad that she had to. She literally saw every cool band that's not currently, like.
Yeah, that like, ever
like,
came
like,
into
a day
there.
To remember.
What if she's
White
just like
Chapel,
a big fan?
Like, yeah.
Like, what if she doesn't have any affiliation with the venue?
She's just a huge fan.
Like, it's like, oh, yeah, Whitechapel's playing tonight. Yeah. I got to check that out.
Got to go there. Make sure nobody leans against that goddamn pool table.
Dude, here's the real question. So
it's probably because she invented pool, honestly.
Yeah, her last name is Billiard. So you guys are bringing heavy music back to Headliners. And Headliners has always been an awesome venue.
It really is.
I always love to play it. I always love seeing shows
I think
there.
I played there twice ever. And the first time was in 2005. And I mean, I was 19, but I was just like, I didn't know that music could sound this good live. What? Like being on stage with it? It was incredible. It's been so long since I've been in that venue that I forgot it was a venue kind of thing. And I drive by it to go to work every day, and there's always a big sandwich sign that has in chalk all the bands that are coming up in the next week. And I'm like, you have a show booked every night of the week for the next 2 weeks. Why isn't nobody that I've ever heard of or am into?
Because it's not our scene.
Right.
You know, like, which is fair. But.
Yeah, I just feel like the only bands that I ever hear, like every once in a while you'll hear be like, oh, Houndmouth will be playing at Headliners. Right. And it's like, and while that's fine, it's like, last time I heard that, I was just like, man, Headliners still putting on shows?
Yeah.
You know, no offense to those bands that are out there, you know, doing a residency at Headliners and I just never hear about it, but... It's like one of those things. Is like I didn't even know that they were still hosting shows.
Yeah,
and their parking lot just gets smaller and smaller and smaller.
That's like,
but their parking moved across the street. Now they actually own not where the
I was like the apartment buildings,
not where the condos went in.
Guys, do not park by the apartment.
Do not park by the condos.
Like,
not like it.
Shit, have we even thought about that?
Like, no, my favorite thing about the parking is I do this every time. I take it back. The heaviest band I've seen recently at Headliners was actually Stagecoach Inferno for the crossover series, which was awesome because I was like, hell yeah. metal band's playing at fucking Headliners, and it sounded awesome. But I did the thing that everybody else does, and it's this thing where it's not legal, where everybody just parks in the right lane, and it's this thing where like somebody does it, then somebody parks behind them, then somebody does it behind them, and it's the same. They're not going to tow everybody, so it's like as long as somebody parks,
they
behind
can't take
you,
us all, yeah, exactly, in, brother.
Like then it that's like it's like the weird unspoken rule of that area of town. It's like, well, as long as there's a show going on, you can just totally park in the right lane of traffic, and nobody cares
on either side.
Yeah.
Guys, it's going to be a battle royal when it comes to the parking sitch. I suggest get early. There early. Mm-hmm. Get your pre-sale tickets. Get there early and line up at the door like you used to.
Yeah, right. That'd be tight.
$5 to me, and you'll get a meet and greet with, I don't know, somebody random, I find.
Not somebody real cool.
Not with me.
Hobo Joe. But
you can get a meet and greet, not with the band, but maybe with someone else's band.
So
you'll really love this guy. He's been practicing for weeks.
So to help try to sell Headliners even more, because when I went there recently, like they have a whole rad outside area that's like fenced in that they didn't previously have.
Right. The smoking area off to the right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's fucking tight as shit.
So, how many smokers are there? That's a huge area.
Yeah. So if y'all like to smoke or vape, fucking
come to the show. Do it there.
Dude, show up.
I want that entire area to be filled with cotton candy, maple syrup. You know, smell.
Here's the real question. Did you guys rent a glass wall to put Robbie behind to keep the drum sound down?
If only we could.
That was Hard Rock, right?
That was our first show.
Foxbat,
2.5 years ago,
played the Uh-Huh Baby Yes album release show at Hard Rock Cafe, and everyone's like, dude, this is a great venue, dude. It's Hard Rock. It's 4th Street. It's going to be excellent. It's going to be huge.
Here's your 100-watt PA.
And while the show was indeed busy, there were people there.
Eating.
Eating.
At the bar.
And they were like, can you guys keep it down? I'm trying to eat. And I'm like, no, we booked the show here,
Hard
bro.
Rock Cafe. It's not even like the Soft Rock Cafe. Yeah. It's the fucking Hard Rock Cafe.
This is
cafe.
Not the Flaccid Rock Cafe. Yeah.
And then they put Robbie behind a glass case.
That fell
immediately.
Yeah.
Look, I'm proud of a lot of shit I've done in my life, but the most proudest moment I've ever had was literally holding the glass up so I could press my face on it.
That was the
and
best.
And nobody got pictures of it. Yeah. Nobody got pictures. Nobody got video.
I don't need it, man. I was there. I lived it.
I pressed it out of my memory. Like I'm, you know, actively attempting to forget that it was a thing.
No.
Just to spite you.
Hey, great first show, though. There were a lot of people there.
Dude, it was a killer show.
It was a blast. Yeah.
Foxbat, Greyhaven, and Uh-Huh Baby Yeah.
That's a fucking what best a great goddamn line.
At Hard Rock Cafe.
At Hard Rock
Kevin
Cafe.
Kevin made everybody sit down.
The place that rocks the least, guys. Should just be called the Yacht Rock Cafe.
The Yacht Rock
Cafe. And if you like pina coladas, come down to the Yacht Rock Cafe. For a great time.
I was at a Peddler's Mall yesterday with my roommate, and like fucking Chicago came on. He goes, "Oh, we're yacht rocking now," and I was like, "Motherfucker, I hate you,
dude." Yeah, did it all for the glory of love. Peter Cetera is going to tell you what's up. But dude, you guys have you got Rot Gut coming out. It's coming out on vinyl, and you're hand making all of the merchandise. I want to talk about that too. I know we talked about it briefly that you were going to be putting together the packages, but dude, you've been screen printing like crazy. You've been getting the deals and making it happen all by yourself.
It's this thing where like we're technically saving money, which is tight, but also like the emotional investment into it of just like because it's just like the stuff that everybody's getting is awesome. It looks awesome. Like,
it really does.
I've got half of it printed right now, and I'm more proud. It's like you do have this pride because you're doing it yourself. It's DIY. But at the same time, the amount of effort that comes into doing it, that we're saving, you know, a dollar per thing, that it is comes down to the same. Like, I'm proud that of how much effort I'm putting into it. But at the same time, like, I ended up having Shane from Audiophile Inc. Heyo. Shout out. Dude, he's saving my life right now. Like, he's printing a bunch of other shit that's going to be available at the show that I still, like, had my, like, we're doing a bunch of extra, like I had a bunch of ordered a bunch of extra shirts so that we could bleach dip them and put a specific design on that I was going to print myself. But with the amount of time I have, I just didn't have enough time to like get the screen to look right so that it would be a good, I don't know, like if I can't do it right myself, I'm going to have somebody else do it. So it just didn't look right. So I sent it out to him and he sent me a picture of it today and it looks fucking awesome.
So what you're saying is you went to the best place
in town, absolutely.
And no matter what town that you're located in, because he's going to give you the best deal ever, and he's going to ship to all 50 nifty United States.
Mm-hmm. Dude, it's rad that he's like, I've harassed the shit out of him for the past 2 weeks. Been like, hey dude, we want to add this. How much is this? And it's just like, I dropped stuff off yesterday for him to print on, and I can tell he's fucking swamped.
Yeah,
like with, you know, actual people who probably sell thousands of shirts versus us, you know. But like, he still makes the time to be like, yeah, we can do that. All right, cool.
You ever seen the office, like his workspace? It's like the warehouse. It's just like a vault of boxes of shirts to print.
I literally brought him a box of shirts because I bleached them myself, and then I brought them to him to print on, and I was just like, where do you want me to put those? He's just like, right there. And it's like a bunch of boxes of other shirts. I was like, do you want me to put them
next to the bleached black shirts that I bought in bulk yesterday?
Like, it was just like, and he fucking nailed it, like, because he's a professional. He sent me a picture today of this stuff, but it was this thing where I was just like holding this box, like looking at these other identical boxes, like, okay.
These took me hours.
I'm like, and it's like where I gave him all these instructions, and like, he wasn't writing it down. He was just listening, and he fucking nailed it. But I was just like, I gave you a lot of information right now.
Are you sure you don't want some sort of diagram or anything?
But no, he fucking killed it, man. So that's the other thing coming down the pipeline, is like the merch that we're going to have at this show is fucking awesome.
See how much better that sounds when you talk straight into that microphone?
Hey, dude. I'll talk in a microphone like I'm singing in a microphone, like away from my face. Cause
I'm like Celine Dion, dude. Sometimes my notes are so intense, I got to just take that mic way out of my face.
Or out of tune. That's why.
Perfect. Wait,
you were Celine. No.
great singer of the world.
Shall we go for it? Let's do it. All right. Yeah. Well, speaking of shall we go for it and let's do it, I feel like this is the time when we need to lay down a sweet yacht rock track from Rotgut. From Yachtgut, brand new Foxbat single.
That is a hashtag that I would have thought about a while ago.
God damn it. Oh, that's going to be a shirt now. That's gotta be
the
thing.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, God. If we could do.
We'll come up with it.
We're gonna find some fucking pineapple button up shirts from H&M. I'm gonna buy them. I'm gonna print on them. It's gonna be awesome.
It's gonna be fantastic. Shall we maybe check out Grim Ripper? What do you think? Or do you have something that is gonna be more of a hot exclusive?
I'm gonna go crazy. We're gonna give you is literally the last song on the album and the last song that we wrote, and it's one of my fucking favorites.
It is weird how we all felt like, oh shit, we need one more song. And then Joe, being Joe, was like, all right, this. And we were like, like he did it out of nowhere, and it
Joe's like, hey, I wrote this song 5 seconds ago.
No, I wrote a song on the back of a Dixie cup, as Zach Pennington from Light Treasons would say all the time. But yeah, it's called Cancer Clan, and it's fucking humbly, we're really stoked on it. So
well, mm-hmm. What's it about? Give me the deets.
Oh God, it's more me preaching about shit. It's the idea of coming. You know, there's the idea of everybody wants to be woke,
yeah,
but they don't want to actually take responsibility for the idea of being woke. So they're just like, I'm woke. And we're like, well, you realize by being woke, you need to accept the fact that some behaviors that you were a part of in your past and your family's history, like are not good, and that's okay. That you need to be better from now. So it's the idea of coming to terms with that, and because people like very much want to be like, oh, I'm a woke person. We're like, cool, well, you're still being shitty.
Right.
You're like, no, that's fine. I said I'm woke. So it's with.
Did you not see hashtag woke?
Yeah, hashtag woke.
Let me reiterate here. Hashtag woke, all caps. Yeah. You guys heard it here first, guys. This song is about the Illuminati.
Shitty's onto us.
Hashtag woke.
Too many triangles.
Yeah. Why are you looking at me with your eye through a triangle in a pyramid? Guys, this is going to be Cancer Clan by Foxbat off the brand new album, Rotgut.
There's something creeping around my bed, walking over my covers, resting on my head. I'm fixing to get my shoulders a rest and focus on the stabbing deep inside my chest. And maybe I'll get some sleep tonight. Up it strong and steady. Let the rhythm be the one thing to destroy your instinct. I took my family's name, left it out in the rain. 40 days in, that's gonna remove the stain. Word about your state, read about it when the courier came. What you get?
Everybody taking you to Toontown by way of Toons Farm in Toonsylvania.
Toons Farm wine, dude.
That was Cancer Club by Foxbat.
Cancer Clan.
Cancer Culture Club by Foxbat off of Yacht Gut. Guys, this is Culture Clan. we'll get it next time.
I was in Nashville this last weekend and literally saw a Culture Club billboard.
Yeah,
and it's this thing where like,
was it just like old from like the 80s? It's no, just like an antique and like all falling apart.
It would have been cooler if it was, because it's like nobody wants to see what modern rock stars look like. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to know what the Scorpions look like.
Dude,
now
Boy George looks like me, but with a top hat on now. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, like, dude, maybe somebody should like heavily make up Sean and put him in a top hat.
Yeah,
that's like, Boy George.
How do we know? Has anybody ever seen you and Boy George in the same room?
Huh?
I don't know.
Hey. Do you really want to hurt me? Like, do you really want to make me cry?
I'm leaving.
Cancer Clan, yeah, by Foxbat. That's what we meant to say.
Which,
here, guys.
And this will be a little BTS for myself, actually. Why did we spell it the way we did?
I did just to be fun.
Okay.
Dude, what are the fun spellings? With
the
K?
It's got the K's on it.
Dude, it's so, like KISS, dude. Anytime you go, like if you're part of the KISS club, it's like everything's spelled with a K.
I was thinking more...
Go ahead.
Somebody say it. Come on, don't make me say
it. Well, it's just more references to white history. That's unfortunate.
Okay, that's fair. Either. I was going to say corn. But
no,
I thought one of you would have got it.
It would have been a backwards H.
The R in cancer is backwards.
Yeah.
So
missed opportunity. There's another shirt. Missed opportunity.
That would be perfect.
There's a backwards R in Russian, so we can still create that hashtag. Actually.
We can make it happen.
That's right.
Just copy the corn R, dude. Just copy the font. Dude,
We're so much into throwbacks. I mean, you're going to see in one of the shirts we're released for the show. It's if we find something that's like just culturally funny, or we're like that's something we're super stoked on. Like, so the idea of making a Foxbat shirt that's literally the old 1995 corn logo. That, dude, it gets me going.
What I'm thinking, dude, this is what you need to bring back. If you're going to do old school corn logo, I suggest you get a long sleeve tee,
mm-hmm,
with the stripe across it.
Yeah, that's a pinstripe going down, though. See, I like the one where
it's
going,
yeah, it is a pinstripe going down.
It was a vertical
pinstripe, yeah. Yes, and then you just have like the little badge on the breast.
The oval, and then the back of it has a big oval. Yeah, dude, that was my favorite shirt in
But then you also have to cut the sleeve so you can put your thumb through it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Everybody, come on, everybody remembers.
So you can put your thumb and your rage right through it.
I had this real...
Your angst.
Real dumb moment of thought. I thought you meant you were taking the sleeves off of it. And I was like, dude, your whole arm's going through there.
Not just your thumb, your whole arm's going to get up there, brother.
Dang arms in there,
you know, thumb's part of the arm.
I've had conversations with a good friend of mine named Wes, and I find that other people have agreed with me on this. But did anybody as a kid, like... love the movie Biodome and want to dress exactly like Stephen Baldwin's character
for fucking sure.
Biodome. And I feel like the corn shirt was like, even though I don't think he necessarily wore it, but I felt like the corn shirt with like some sort of bowling button up on the outside and like a bunch of necklaces.
It's
like the hot thing in middle school.
I'm pretty sure like whenever like Stephen Baldwin had to like get into wardrobe for that, they just showed him a Korn music video and they're like, just dress like this.
Yeah, they're like, dress like the drummer, the good looking one. And get a Cheshire cat tattoo wrapped all the way around your elbow, bro.
Oh, god damn it.
Also, we'll say, God, if we're throwing fucking Korn knowledge around, which I haven't listened to them in a long time. Like, I know they keep putting music out, and I will always watch the first video they put out for their new album out of, like, morbid curiosity / nostalgia, and it's always terrible. But...
I'm a big Korn fan.
But their drummer is the only non-original member now. He left.
Yeah. As someone who literally did his hair specifically like Dave Silveira, the original drummer of Korn,
yeah,
that's what I did. I had bleach blonde hair and spiked it up.
Now I'm leaving.
Same. You're outnumbered. Two men that have done this. Yeah. Well, now it's.
Hey, dude, you got issues?
Yeah. You
why don't you just follow the leader and get the hell out of here?
Yeah, man.
I would be the leader.
Life isn't so peachy, dude.
Yeah. It's all in the family right here.
Funny how it's still all in the first couple albums, though. Because it's the only thing worth a shit.
Hey, I'm coming undone here.
Well, it's something. The last song that I remember really liking of theirs, Somebody Someone. I was trying to figure out a way to put that. It was off... It was off Issues, I think.
No. I'm going to be real honest. I stopped listening after Issues. So I can't even.
You know,
it was a really good song.
Korn fans out there, you'll probably agree. They did put out an album with Skrillex in about 2012, 13, 14. No. When was Skrillex really hot? Probably 2012.
Yeah.
Let's just say that. And it went together famously. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
So check it out, guys. Korn and Skrillex. Two great tastes that taste great together.
Look, but Korn, if you're listening, please put us on tour.
Yeah, and Korn, if you're listening, just come on the podcast.
I'll open Family Values.
I'll clean the bagpipes. I don't give a fuck. That's fine.
I don't think that means what you think it means.
Yeah, you can come on tour, but you have to clean the bagpipes.
I saw bagpipe cleaner on monster.com as an opportunity for Korn. I just assumed that's what that meant. I didn't know.
On monster.com. Yeah, dude, I was checking Zillow the other day, and I was looking at new rentals, and then I went over to Monster and got bagpipe cleaner possession.
So in my head, I was hoping you were going to say, I went to Zillow the other day, looked for a job. I was like, dude, that's a fucking house.
I know. That's where I was headed with it. I was trying to think of...
you fucking killed it, though.
Yeah.
Killed.
Nice, dude. Okay. We are making the Korn puns happen. Forget news. Forget business. This is all Korn. All the rest of the podcast. Yeah, dude. So, yeah, but I feel like Doyle from Biodome, he was just like my fashion icon. Korn shirt or some sort of equally cool ringer-like tee, bowling-like button-down, airwalk shoes.
I could be wrong.
Airwalks are going to be the next big thing, dude.
Yeah, I think that Baldwin is still dressing like that, too.
No, he's a man of God. Yeah, I was going to say.
For Christ.
Yeah.
No.
I saw a thing where he was trying to be like, skate for Christ, and like super cool.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, and not.
Dude, not. Brah. This is going to be intense. Oh, the Baldwins. They can do no wrong, right? What can I say?
I don't know. There's 14 of them.
So. Yeah. I wish I was one.
You could be.
Yeah, I get mistaken for one all the time. Daniel, the one that's fat and a loser. But yeah, guys, you have, again, the main focus on this is going to be, obviously, this awesome show sponsored by Sean vs. Wild and Riot Heart, and a bunch of awesome bands are going to be at Headliners with you. Foxbat, of course, is going to be playing listeners, but we also have Guerrilla Warfare that's going to be playing. That's a Sean versus Wild alum. We've got Versus, who hasn't made it on the show yet, but hopefully after hearing this, they will be.
Oh, dude, I'm sure Trey would be super down to do that.
Yeah, Trey, big shout out, bro. And then, of course, Summer Youth And am I forgetting anyone? I think I nailed it. Did I nail it?
Nope.
I didn't nail it. Light Treasons, of course. Hey, man.
Look, y'all, I'm selfish, and this is the first time playing Headliners in a real
long
time.
You're doing double duty, man.
I just want to do double duty.
I see what you're doing here. You just want to get paid twice.
Ooh. But it's like negative money when it's band money. It's just like, if anything, I'm getting in debt twice. Like, you know?
I put this show on, and now I got to get played twice just to break even. Mm-hmm. I see what's up.
It's like double incentive for people that I've guilted into coming in the shows. And be like, well, I'll see him twice, so maybe I don't have to come to his next few shows from either band.
Yeah,
you know?
I've seen him twice in the same
What was
night,
it so. The last time we played? The only time was that
last New Vintage
show. And, yeah, there are people that just checked out after that and were like, all right, well, I've paid my respects for now.
Haven't seen them. Now, hopefully they'll come back a year later.
Yeah, right.
What's great is that New Vintage show was what we were promoting on the very first and the second Sean vs. Wild podcast. Hey, we're coming full circle here, guys. We're coming in a full circle, ladies and gentlemen.
Did you just make a circle jerk, a.k.a. Limp Bizkit reference?
Whoa, Limp Bizkit. Let's talk about the Bizkit.
Dude, coming to...
L-I-R-P.
Louder than life, dude.
Bizkit is right here. Are you stoked or what?
I'm pretty stoked.
Dude, Louder Than Life is going to be...
So everybody's complaining about the lineup. But first of all...
You won't hear any complaints here.
Yeah, fuck you. Like, it's, like at the end of the day, like, it's... Louisville's getting a festival, which no disrespect to Forecastle, no disrespect to anything else that caters to other commercially viable shit. Awesome. Fucking fantastic. Louisville getting a hard rock metal, like, centered fucking festival. Like, because we're a tertiary fucking market. We get looked over for so many fucking tours that it's like... Anything that brings positivity to Louisville, especially in the harder music scene, is awesome.
What you mean to say here is, you know, for Louisville to get a show that you would actually want to attend is awesome.
Exactly. Look, maybe I'm a little selfish. I'm a little selfish on this. That's fine.
Hey, that's the way I feel, too. I mean, my big thing, I know folk music is real hot right now, but, you know, if I want to hear some dude strumming an acoustic guitar, I can hear that on... I can hear that on their CD any day of the week. Yeah. I don't need to go and pay $300 to go see it live.
I don't want to see somebody playing a banjo and making $1 million. I would rather go see somebody playing the guitar and loud drums and losing $400.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Like, I want to help their cause because something tells me they're barely getting paid on this
exactly.
one.
Exactly. That's what I would rather do. So it's like the lineup this year, it's like Sunday's the stacked day for me personally. I can see Deftones and Primus on the same fucking bill. How fucking and Clutches on that too, I think.
I think so. Yeah, and Glassjaw?
Glassjaw? I forgot Glassjaw, which I haven't seen since 2003.
There's somebody else on that lineup that was like a sleeper hit, and I was like really stoked on it, and they're like, I don't know. Hey, speaking of sleeper hit, I'm looking at this poster of Hope's Fall, and Code 7 played, one of my favorite, most underrated bands,
From
I feel,
North
of all
Carolina,
time.
North Carolina, dude.
North Carolina, dude. Check them out.
And I'm looking at Harvard with fucking...
Harvard as well,
and Harvard played too. I love Harvard.
See whatever, but he, yeah.
Jesse Clausen. Shout out to Jesse.
Yeah, that dude's incredible.
Good friend of mine. A friend of mine. I haven't talked to him in quite a few years.
He had a side project, The Barrowmantic. I think it was called Native Trash, was another side project he did. Basically, anything he does is incredible.
North Carolina is a fucking sleeper of a state, which is brings us to our next. Cool thing that we're doing.
Dude, now you're the one with the segues.
So,
get it right.
North Carolina. On Clay versus Wild.
North Carolina breeds talent. And speaking of North Carolina, Clay, why don't you tell them all the great things
and
you have?
Speaking of breeding, the other way. Okay,
what's
my bad.
Going on in the Tar Heel State?
A couple things before we do that. One, I got to do a major shout out to Gray Haven because they just played Hope's Falls fucking coming back shows, which I regretfully could not get tickets to the North Carolina show because I was all prepared to go to that show and it sold out, which is real sad for me because they're my favorite fucking band. But we're getting ready to announce a tour with Softspoken from Northern Kentucky area, and it's going to be called the Sweet Carolina Tour.
Oh, nice.
Because most of the dates are in North Carolina. So it's going to be a 6-day run with them, and I'm going to be all around North Carolina. So if anybody here is in them cities.
Ain't nothing finer.
Yeah.
Then North Carolina.
We're also going to be one date in South Carolina, so that's why it works out as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. So. When is this? When is this planned?
It'll be end of August, beginning of September.
August 28th through September 3rd.
August 29th through...
The 28th, I thought, was the hypothetical Bowling Green date.
Mm-mm, 29th.
Mm,
did you ask out for a 28th?
Yeah, it was the one you asked me for.
Yeah, it was the 29th.
The Wednesday.
Yeah, the Wednesday's the 29th.
28th.
Man, if you're... If your work is listening to this, they're going to be TO'd. You took
what
one extra day off.
What the hell are they doing?
Wow, this happened
whatever,
right in the middle
right.
of the podcast, guys.
Okay.
This is getting crazy.
Fine. This is getting
the point is you're right. You're right. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. I know, but I did
guys.
Request off the correct days. So
August
29th?
So
that's all that matters.
Through September
all about
3rd,
to solve. Fight.
You are going to love it. If you are in the North or South Carolina area, make sure you check it out. Dates will be posted super, super soon, mm-hmm. As soon as they are.
Also, if you're in any of those cities, I want
to. If you're in the cities, you want to be local.
States.
No, yeah,
it's,
you heard that.
It's pretty much booked. We've got a couple, few things which I mean, we can go into a huge tangent there on like trying to book a tour as a band that nobody gives a shit about, which is real fun.
Oh yeah, that's always great. It's like one time we went out on tour and like the promoter was like we showed up at the venue and like literally no one was there. Like they didn't even open the door. And finally we called and the guy was like, well, the booking agent was like sent me these texts and it was like, hey, we need a venue. Book them wherever. I don't give a fuck. Put them in a Taco Bell parking lot for all I care.
Right.
He like showed us the text and he was like, dude, I felt really bad. So here's some money. And if you want to play, you can. And ask Brent Mills about it because he was on tour with us at that time.
Glorified practice right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you actually got paid, which is tight because usually it's usually
shit,
it's opposite.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah. Like that's actually kind of a rad deal. But yeah, for in the middle of trying to get all this stuff together for the pre-orders and our album release and promote that, I've been sending out about 50 emails a day. And that's not an exaggeration. I went back and counted like while I was like averaging between 30 to 50 emails a day of trying to book this. And Chris from Softspoken has been helping out, which has been awesome too.
Because it's with Softspoken. Mm-hmm. I don't think we said
Softspoken.
That.
Softspoken, which they're phenomenal. They just recorded a record with Matt Goldman, which is the tightest of all tight. So,
well, big shout out to Softspoken.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys are some people that can just be on the podcast. Let's talk about this tour that's coming up.
Yeah.
Let's make her happen.
Do it.
But yeah, so you're going to be hitting the road late August. Of course, you got this awesome CD release show. I know I've been promoting it for weeks on the podcast, but I'm telling you guys, if you're listening, if you love Fox Bat, obviously you do because you're checking this episode out. If you're not there, if you don't show up, you don't exist.
Boom.
It's just the way it is, man. We're going to sell it out.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like the idea of, okay, so 10 years ago, legitimately, I was playing a shoulder show. God damn it. At Headliners with Cartel, my band at the time, Hark the Herald, was the opening up. That was our CD release for that band. And granted, Cartel was playing, so that's why I was sold out. So I'm not going to pretend like we had anything to do with that.
Sure.
But it would be tight as hell to sell out Headliners 10 years later. That'd be cool.
Absolutely.
Fucking milestone right there.
Yeah, 10 years in the making, guys. Get out there. Tickets are $8 in advance, $10 at the door. You can get the entire pre-order package. It's what, 18 bucks?
17 bucks.
17 bucks. Even cheaper than I thought it was.
And it'll save you money on them online fees. So no online fees, just fucking ticket and CD. That's it.
Exactly. And pre-order the vinyl if Jeremy will, you know, allow you. He can break you off one vinyl.
Look, here's the good news. Nobody cares about us, but that means our vinyl is going to be worth a lot of money on the internet. So
when people start caring about
it. There's only 250 pieces in existence that will be in existence. So if you buy it now, you can flip it on the internet for $100. That's how that works. That's how the vinyl community works because we're all stupid.
Wait till you guys take off though. And like, that's the thing. Like these original 250 are going to be collector's pieces.
Props to Knock Loose. I watched a test press that they put up for a charity or Pure Noise put up for their first EP. The last I had checked, it was at $1,000. That people were bidding on it from eBay because fucking rad. Good for them. That's fucking awesome. So I've got a couple test presses.
I've been holding on to it.
That I'm going to hold on to for a rainy day.
But just one, in case you go like full like 80s hair band on your downward spiral, you're like,
absolutely.
I got these test presses, dude.
They were on my wall, but
just give me a couple $100, man. I'll sell them to you. So yeah, dude, just to again reiterate, you guys have new album August 3rd, Rot Gut will be coming out, and ladies and gentlemen, you have to pre-order it, or you have to get it at the show. Pre-ordering is better. Get it on vinyl. Save yourself some fees and get your ticket while you're there. The show will be amazing. The singles are awesome. The videos are fantastic. You got to check it all out. And you got some other shows coming up. You have your tour in late August. Yeah. The Sweet Carolina tour with Soft Spoken. But you have some other shows as well that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, we're going to be playing with Last 10 Seconds of Life and Trixie's coming up. So, which, P.S., I've got some inside scoop on Trixie's, which is now going to be the Tiger Room.
The Tiger Room?
Yeah. So
what it was before, right?
No. It was
Gold Room.
Basically, it has something to do with the Toy Tiger, which was before all of our time, essentially. Like, I remember the Toy Tiger being a
speak
thing.
For yourself.
It is now a Steak and Shake.
I was there at 9.
Yeah.
what are those?
You know, it's funny because I always, like, people talk about Trixie's. I'm like, dude, I actually just told my uncle last night, I was like, Sebastian Bach is playing at Trixie's. And he's like, really? And I was like, yeah, I know it's weird because it's like a strip club. But I was like, it's probably like the equivalent of you going to the Toy Tiger and seeing these bands. I was like, because the PA is, I was like, the stereo and the speakers and the PA are amazing. And they're so loud. You definitely have to
wear
ear protection. It's fantastic.
The sound there is fucking awesome. The fucking
stage
setup
is good.
Yeah, Trey, the bartender / singer for Verses, is fucking fantastic.
The fact that they have a bar on that side in general where you don't have to
so it's
plus the chicks are great. Almost Famous. Okay guys, I quoted Almost Famous right there.
Go ahead. I'm a golden god, it's fine. But so essentially they just remodeled it and they flip-flopped it, so the dancers are on the other side where the venue was, and now the venue is on the side where the dancers and it's
we have a pole?
That's fantastic because it's way bigger.
If only we had, dude, I'm just saying.
I'll learn how to play a bass and swing around on a pole.
Yeah, bass is not
I'll
important.
I'll do it.
But no, it literally
is not important.
I always turn down. Where have you been for 2.5 years?
I got to sneak peek it when I was dropping off some flyers for Trey, and literally it looks like a miniature Mercury Ballroom. It's fucking awesome. So it's like, I get if people have reservations about putting money towards, like, you know, a strip club, that's fine. I totally get that. But like, ultimately it's
I don't get it at all. These are hardworking individuals, and we should support them.
It's completely separate, you know? So it's like, I currently have no qualms with that personally.
It's awesome.
Like, that's just my...
Then the day after that, actually, we are doing a benefit show for a friend of mine.
What day is that, by the way?
That is August 17th.
That is August 17th.
Thank you.
So August 18th, it's a Friday and Saturday. August 18th, we will be playing at Mag Bar with one of the most stacked bills ever. It's going to be with Cryptic Him, Stagecoach Inferno, Girlwood, and
Greyhaven.
Fantastic.
And it's a benefit show for a really good friend of mine who's just going through some medical things, and a friend of hers works as a bartender there, and she was like, yeah, perfect place to do it. It's like, I may be getting this wrong, but it's something like 50 cents for every Miller Lite they sell is going straight to her, plus all proceeds from the door, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I don't know.
Between the band, that means we're going to give them at least $100,000.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So everybody go there. And I'm assuming they are going to basically change out the foundation of Mag Bar with Miller Lights so that they have enough. Because even if that wasn't a benefit show for a really good cause, I can only fathom that the lineup itself just – basically, I'm thinking of Greyhaven playing in Mag Bar now. It is going to be – shoulder to shoulder, as you messed up
words
earlier. It's
a shoulder out show, guys.
Shoulder out show.
But
the thing, though, it actually might be a first come. Like,
people will be behemothly trying to get in the door to the shoulder out show.
Fucking nostalgia back to the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah, if you guys aren't drunk enough now, you'll remember that.
Woo. Then also August, if I remember correctly, 25th, it should be a Saturday. We were lucky enough to get the opening bill at Zombie Walk, which if it's anything, I did go 2 years ago. I didn't go last year, but I went 2 years ago. They set a stage up in front of basically Tap Room and Taco Bell. It's in the middle of those two. It's a really awesome stage. For being outside, the sound is phenomenal. I saw a buddy of mine's band play, and it was great. And the Vice Tricks played after that. Fucking amazing. Yeah. So awesome. So we somehow lucked into that, thanks to Clay, because he was the one that...
All I do is pester people. I'm like, hey, dude, what you got there? Peanut butter sandwich? Why don't you mix a little fox bat in with that? Hey, dude, what you got? Mac and cheese? Put a little fox bat in that. That's fine.
It's a Mac and Fox Bat cheese sandwich.
No, no.
So we got that, and then the other one is Louder Than Life. So
or Localer.
Localer.
You heard it here, guys. This is an exclusive, hot off the press.
If we just tell everybody we're playing it, then...
And then it's Thursday.
And then it's Thursday. Eventually, we'll be on...
We're playing Louder Than Life. Well, what day? Thursday.
That is the only, quote-unquote, light criticism I could put towards it, is like, it'd be... Like, back in the LRS Fest, it was like they put...
Yeah.
They do a local, they put a local on the bill or whatever, and they do the battle or whatever, but it's just like, I'm hopeful that eventually Louder Than Life will be like, hey, let's do a local stage.
Dude, even if they just did it on Thursday, because like Bonnaroo's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Mm, yep.
A lot of the big shit goes down Friday through Sunday, but they still have a Thursday going on, so maybe Thursday can be for, you know, locals and stuff like that.
I'm just saying, again, like, I love what they're doing. It's fucking awesome so far, but it would be cool to be like, hey, like, even if there was... A local stage that was put in the very far corner in the parking lot across from that. You know, like, right. I'm okay with that. Like,
you'll be playing in the back of a trailer converted to a stage. Like,
I'm
the
used
Ernie
to
Ball
playing to
Warped
four
Tour.
People. So if I'm playing to like 14 people, that would
that
be
are
tight.
In line for a corn dog. I'll take it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, put me next to the concession stand. That's fine. Absolutely. Because what are they going to do? They have to listen to me. They can't. Exactly. I've been in line for 20 minutes to get, you know, my cotton candy and gallon of soda. What am I just going to leave because these assholes are playing? No.
Yeah,
they're just going to.
I mean,
there.
Sometimes that's how bad we are. That's fine.
Let me ask you this question: What's the best live event concession food? Like, you're going to the Kentucky State Fair or something?
I equate it to what I think about is going to Louisville Bats games or LCFC games, Go City, would be I like to get hot dog drunk. Mm. Where I eat more hot dogs than people should, and I will literally, I wouldn't call it a fast, but I would not eat up until then, and I won't drink any beer, I won't take up any unnecessary room, and then I will just eat as many hot dogs as I can. I don't know why.
What's your record?
Do you go to the Dollar Dog Nights at the Bats
Stadium? At the Bats games, I have, and I think my record there would be 9.
Oh, nice.
Oh, God. Bun and all?
Yeah.
I could just
the fuck am I going to... I eat the aluminum foil. What am I going to... I'm not throwing anything out.
We have a dog off right here, right now, everybody.
Dude, I can't... if it's not a brat or like a Polish sausage,
look
I don't
at this cultured dude, motherfucker.
A ballpark dog will change your life.
Exactly.
I don't want to pay $13 for something that's...
It's
illegal.
$1.
Yeah, you go to Dollar Dog Night.
They're dollar dogs.
All right. That's still a little different.
They're $1.
I'll be into that. But like,
you'll be paying $13 to win the contest with 13 dogs.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I would easily go there and be like, give me $10. Give me $10.
Well, and then I always cap it off. That's like, I'll, you know, leading up to it, because they'll do it until, what is it, like fourth inning where they start, seventh inning where they stop it. So you can eat it up until that point, just being uncomfortable in these seats, just like, why am I here in these, like, it's hot and I didn't sit somewhere where the sun isn't and there's we're losing and just like everything sucks, and then I'll go
get... You don't
get,
really know why, but you want to justify ripping someone's head.
Yeah. And then I go get the German roasted nuts and it makes everything better. I fucking love
how much are beers there? And is it
a dollar? They
me?
Have dollar beer night too.
They do.
Yeah,
dollar beer night. I will pay $13 for a hot dog.
I do want to say that it is. I want to say that leads up to opening pitch, which means you just get there an hour early. You can take up to 2 beers with you at a time.
What's a hot dog limit? How many hot dogs can you take at a time?
I don't know.
Unlimited?
Maybe.
What's the most you've ever ordered at once?
2, because I was equating it to beer rules, and I didn't want to overstep anybody's bounds. I ain't trying to get anybody fired or anything like that. I wanted the hot dogs, but I was like holding off, whatever. But yeah, I mean,
I can see so much possibility in this. I'm like, give me 2, then I go in the back of the line. It'd be just like going to the Electric Cowboy when it was 25-cent beer nights. You would just go. You were allowed 1 at a time, so you would go and you buy one, and then you just go straight to the back of the line, drink it while you're in line, and keep doing that until midnight. I could see myself doing that with hot dogs.
Exactly.
If I had something to prove, okay? That's it. If I had something to prove.
Or if you were at a bottom that you cannot think of right now.
Like, man, I'm starving. I only have like $13.
I'm going to go to... I'm going to spend $7 at a Bats game and just buy...
I hope my work gives me complimentary tickets to this Bats game.
So I can buy 13 hot dogs and then just save some of them.
Is there anyone on earth that's ever really paid to go to a Bats game? I feel like you only go when it's complimentary.
That's a good point.
Complimentary tickets to your work.
I have paid for LCFC games though. My roommate's one of the capos. Like it's I love supporting them.
One of the capos? Like it's like the Sopranos or something?
No, I was supposed to put it on guitar, dude. You want to make it go up like a half?
He gets to he and every and I give him credit. He's my best friend. I love him to death.
He's the Tony Soprano.
Every single game, he paints his face up something different. He's been Braveheart. He's been Ultimate Warrior. He has been literally everything you can think of with purple and gold paint. And he gets to go in front of the crowd and the general admission section, basically, with a megaphone that he also painted gold and purple and scream chants at them that everybody gets to scream back. It is one of the coolest things ever. And it's awesome. So I will go and pay for those games because they're you know, local fucking – technically a national team. I don't know how any of that works.
What is this team?
LCFC, the Louisville City Coopers.
The Louisville City
Coopers.
Like Special Agent Dale Cooper from Twin Peaks.
Exactly.
What is this team? Is it a
soccer team?
Arena Soccer?
Yeah.
Okay, I knew that.
Well,
for some reason, like it took me forever to put that, and then I was like, Louisville does have that.
They
like
play in the Bat Stadium now, but they're in the process of building their own stadium.
Are they
on
like the AAA
side
or?
Of? Dude, sports ball, man. I don't know. I go to support my best friend.
We go for the dogs.
And hot dogs. Ooh.
What about you? What's your if you're going to the Kentucky State Fair, what are you getting?
Dude, I haven't been to Kentucky State Fair. Actually, I've never been. The one time I've been there, it's spaghetti in a bag, was when I worked the Kentucky State Fair. I fucking worked it at the front.
Do you like that? Walking taco.
Walking taco, dude. Fritos bag?
Taco bag.
Dude, I know that shit. No, I literally worked there in 2009 after coming home from like us following Warped Tour for a full month and not having a job. And then I worked the ticket line at the very to get into the fucking park. And it was this, I had a mullet, I wore cargo shorts, and it was just this thing where I was like, God, this is not a good existence.
You have a mullet and cargo shorts? We're hiring you on the spot.
Man, to be fair, he doesn't have a mullet right now, but I'll be damned if he ain't wearing cargo shorts.
There ain't no cargo. Oh, there is.
There you go. You're not a funnel cake?
I would probably maybe try a
pork chop sandwich.
Deep fried fucking Snickers, because I've heard that's a thing. That sounds good.
What is it? The Chow Wagon. The thing they do in the Belvedere where with all the.
I can't do it because you got to go there and you got to buy tickets so then you can take the tickets to the thing. And every time I've tried to do that, it's really confusing and I don't want to.
What is it called? It's like the World's Fair.
You do have to do that with alcohol,
but
yeah, say with the food you don't. That's
any
fantastic.
Place you can go where it's just something called mutton. I don't know. That's cool. That's awesome. Also, World's Fair is the shit, which is kind of cheating though because you can eat basically anything there.
Yeah, it's fucking fantastic.
I've got a dog right in my face.
I was going to apologize. We'll take a break because Sean's over here falling in love.
Apone
will do that to you with his big. He basically just, it's a heavy head and he just needs to rest it.
It's not
to diss your shoulder, but he has to put the head down.
He's literally.
Got to put it somewhere.
He's an orange with four toothpicks shoved in the bottom of it. And that's his head.
That's what's up. But yeah, guys, as we're wrapping up here, now that we've talked about the dog night, we went on. It was a three dog night.
God damn it.
I mean, you remember that band Three Dog Night? It's all about a deal at a baseball game.
That's
dude.
Toad the Wet Sprocket.
No, Jeremiah was a bullfrog?
My name is Jeremy. You know how many times I've been called Jeremiah? It is Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog?
I might have been wrong.
Toad the Wet Sprocket is a 90s band.
Yeah.
I might have been wrong about the date.
And you're also wrong about the person that sings it. Now, maybe it is a cover that they did, but that's definitely.
Look, I'm old as shit, guys. Like,
it was a three dog night. What happened? I had three dogs at the ball game.
Shit.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Toad the Wet Sprocket. They only had one hit, and Jeremiah was a bullfrog was not it. But it might be a cover on one of their albums that you might have picked up.
Then who the hell was
Book and Music Exchange?
Look, I think
who the hell is Toad the Wet Sprocket? Okay,
I don't know, dude.
You'll never know. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. What
you just have to
means,
pick
yeah.
up their CD at Book of Music Exchange for $1.
Dude, are you working on that promo? Because you should.
I just feel like that's the only place that you would buy it. Like, nobody would buy it brand new in the last 15 years. They were just like a band that was like really hot with like one hit.
What was their hit?
I don't know.
One is the Loneliest Number.
I always thought it was like.
God damn it!
Did they do the Water's Edge or is that Toadies?
No, that was Seven Mary Three.
Seven Mary Three. Finally, I got one right. Yeah.
Old bastards. What are they?
No, Toadies was Possum Kingdom, dude.
Okay, Possum Kingdom. Is that the one that's like dun dun
dun dun?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Toad the Wet Sprocket. Guys, if you know who the hell Toad the Wet Sprocket is and what their single was, please hit up Sean versus Wild.
See if they want to be on the podcast.
Yeah, you need to be on the podcast.
What are they doing?
You will win a free ticket to be a guest on the Sean versus Wild podcast. It'll be just like when Charlie went to Wonka's Factory, except way less exciting. And a lot less endangered servants. But let's go ahead and wrap it up here because I know Jeremy has some rocking to do here before too long. Guys, so again, if you're listening, definitely want to come out August 4th to Headliners. We're going to have an amazing time. Show will start at 7. Doors will be at 8. And you got Foxbat. You've got Versus, Guerrilla Warfare, Light Treasons, Summer Youth, and did I leave everybody out?
No, you got
it. I don't
it.
Know.
No,
they got that all. Time.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. And don't forget to, of course, pre-order Rot Gut. And in case you're going to snooze, if you're going to be a snoozing Sarandon, then go ahead and pick it up when you go to the show.
I almost just threw a microphone right there because it was such a good
because pun. That's, it was because amazing.
I didn't think of it,
you
honestly.
You want to be a stepmom like snoozing Sarandon.
You
want to
be a snoozing Sarandon over here. But yeah, and guys.
Snoozing B. Anthony. I'm just.
We're going off on a tangent. Where can people check out all the keep up on the Foxbat going
so on www.foxbatmusic.com. It's the easiest way. Just go there. It'll link you to everything else. That's where you can pre-order.
But I will
the
say at Foxbat Music on Instagram because yeah. Between the two of us, we post the dumbest shit. So
the dumbest shit.
Like literally whatever we can manage.
You can follow the Horsehead Chronicles.
Ooh, I don't know anything about that, but
who's that?
The fact that I am not wearing a horse head right now, honestly, is a miracle of Jesus.
I'm not sure you're surprised you didn't do the whole podcast with
it. So am I. Again, I brought a bunch of stuff here tonight, so I didn't even think to bring the fox head.
He brought two Coors Lights, two for me and two for him. Or whatever. What did he say? He's like, hey, I brought Coors Lights, two for me and two for you. Oh, great. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. I drank all four, so you're going to have to find some.
Yeah, that was it.
You can smell the cans.
Doing
that sounds like a Spinal Tap album.
Exactly. I was going to say, Foxbat's third album, Smell the Cans.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
A woman chained up, and then right in her face
Roy,
is just a...
Roy, with the glove.
An empty can.
What's wrong with being sexy?
Yeah, they think the album cover is sexist. Well, what's wrong with being sexy? And it says, smell the glove. But yeah, guys, check it out. Foxbatmusic.com. Foxbatmusic on Instagram. And then give them a like on Facebook. There are the band to watch. My favorite local band that's playing right now. No disrespect to anybody else out there, but you guys are number one on my list. Woo. My trifecta, Greyhaven, and then followed by Summer Youth. Woo. I'm not trying to play favorites, but I'm going to...
No, you said it. It's on air now.
Yeah, it's on air. And the fact that I'm going to get to see all three bands... play within just a matter of a couple weeks, man.
Yeah.
So headliner show, the Magbar show for a great cause. Everybody go out to that. Go out to all of the shows. It's going to be fantastic. And I might be, I might be joining you guys.
Yeah,
on this
might
run.
Be,
we'll
might
see.
Be doing a little limp seeing.
Yeah, might be doing a little podcasting on the road here.
Come bring me a beer on stage.
That'll be your job. Anytime that I'm empty handed, you put a beer in it.
I'm basically trying to get anybody to do that. Because what I play involves both hands. But if for whatever reason you look up and you see an empty hand, the beer goes there.
Dude, the best joke. Before I know it's like this is going to be like the never ending podcast, but it's like one of those things. The best joke that we always like to play is you would have two like tall boys in your hand, right? So you would basically, you know, you would drink a tall boy or whatever before the set, and then you go get another one. But you'd come back to the stage while the opening band was playing, and you have two tall boys in your hand, and you make contact with somebody, and you're just like, you know, you put the eyes, and then you like point at the beer, right? And then you just put it right in front of them, and they're like, oh, cool, thanks, dude, thanks. And then they go to drink it, and that's the empty one.
Well, dibs. I'm doing that with everybody this upcoming Saturday.
And people
Saturday.
Back, you bastard. There you go. Now you know.
You thought you had a tall boy.
Nope. All you have is nothingness.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, that's what happens. All right. Well, guys, Clay, Jeremy, it's been a great time getting together. Part 3 of the Fox Bat trilogy. Woo. Right here. Maybe it'll be a quadrilogy.
Yeah. Let's do it. Yeah. Dude, Ailing did it, and it turned out fantastic. Don't ask anybody. Dude,
then we'll just remake. We'll kick everybody out and make it and do a remake with 5 new members.
Yeah, we'll just remake the very first episode.
But then call it something kind of different. Right, we're not going to get that. That's fine. We won't.
We'll make it happen. And guys, if you like what you heard today, we had an amazing time here today. At least I did, talking about everything. But if you enjoyed what you heard today, definitely like, share, and subscribe to Sean vs. Wild. It's on Spotify. It's on iTunes. It's on YouTube. It's on Facebook. It's on Twitter. It's on Stitcher. It's wherever you get podcasts. Wherever you like to keep abreast of all your podcast news. Ooh. At Sean vs. Wild. Ooh. And check everything out at Fox Bat Music. Guys, thanks so much for doing this. Glad I could come to the Fox Bat Cave and hang. Because bats hang. Get it?
Oh,
no?
Shit.
And hang.
I was just waiting to say, Clay's house smells like farts, doesn't it?
That's because of you.
This is because of you. This is your fault. But yeah, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. This has been... the Sean vs. Wild Podcast.
Thank you for listening, DNN.